Next we have for our discussion agenda, beginning with item F, this is the trial court's allocations from the State Trial Court Improvement and Modernization Fund and the Trial Court Trust Fund for 15-16. It is an action item. And for this panel, we welcome the chair, the Honorable Lori Earle, and the co-chair, the Honorable Marcia Slough, and Sherry Carter, Court Executive Officer of Los Angeles Superior Court, Zlatko Theodorovich, and Steve Chang.
And Judge Oxney should be on the telephone. Yes, Judge Oxney?
She'll be there eventually.
Yeah.
Okay, very good.
Thank you, Chief. We are here, as we are every year around this time, to bring to you recommended allocations from the State Trial Court Improvement and Modernization Fund and the Trial Court Trust Fund. We're going to start today with allocations from the State Trial Court Improvement and Modernization Fund. For the 3 years that I've presented this to you, this I believe is my third year, we've been the bearer of bad news that this fund runs at a deficit, it has a structural imbalance, and we need to act now or we'll be forced off of the cliff, which is looming. Well, we're here to tell you the cliff is here, and we are standing at the edge of it. I do want to focus on the fund condition for the IMF. You have that in front of you on the PowerPoint, but it's also attachment 3 of your materials, which is essentially page 17. If you look at column D, row 21, you see that the current deficit is approximately $11.1 million. So if we were to do nothing today, if you were not to accept our recommendations, that is where the deficit would lie. The Revenue Expenditure Subcommittee of our full committee got together in a two-day meeting, and Judge Slough will talk a little bit more about the philosophies and the way they approached the meeting. They have made recommendations that were then presented to the full budget committee, and we present those to you today. Based on the recommendations that the budget committee approved, if you look at column E, row 21, it indicates that at the end of the recommendations, we'd be $7 million in the black. But that is deceiving because that does not include a recommendation to fund V3 and sustain because we deferred action on that. So if you consider that the amount to fund V3 and sustain is approximately $7 million, we will bring a recommendation to you on those two items in June. And if you deduct $7 million from the $7.2 that's in front of you, you will see that we are precariously positioned at a fund balance of approximately $300,000 going into the fiscal year 16-17. The difficulty with fiscal year 16-17 is there are projected increases in expenditures, namely from the LAN-WAN system, which is projected to increase by $20 million next year. So the deficit next year grows, and it grows immensely. So while we bring you these recommendations today, I hope that you keep in mind there's no money in the IMF. And whatever action you do today needs to be based on that there's no money in the IMF. And next year will be harder and much more difficult for us. It was difficult enough this year. So I do want to turn it over to Judge Slough to talk about the approach taken, all of the things that the subcommittee considered in bringing the recommendations to the full committee, how those discussions transpired, and then Sherry Carter will walk you through the recommendations.
Thank you, Judge Earle. Thank you, Chief and members of Council. As Judge Earle mentioned, we met for two full days in March, and when I say we, I'm talking about the Revenue and Expenditure Subcommittee of the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee. I co-chair that subcommittee with the CEO from Los Angeles, Sherry Carter. Sherry and I, and I think there are 14 additional members of the subcommittee. This was my second year, Sherry's second or third year of this task that gets more difficult with every year that passes. We reviewed the Improvement and Modernization Fund, which I'll call the IMF Fund for short, on a line item by line item basis. We reviewed all planned projects and program allocations for fiscal 15-16. We looked at reduction options and impacts provided by the Judicial Council staff for IMF-funded programs and projects. And I want to thank Zlotko as well as the staff to all of these various funds who made recommendations or set forth potential options for our consideration. It was painful, difficult, but much appreciated for the good work that they did. We also just wanted to start on the ground with the statutes that authorize the IMF fund as well as its predecessors. Yep. Thank you. We also circulated a survey to all of the 58 trial courts. The purpose of the survey was to get responses to find out what the various courts, how they valued the programs within the IMF fund. 56 courts responded, and their responses also were very informative and very helpful in this process. As it relates to the statutes, there used to be two statutes. One was found within Government Code Section 77213. It was called the Judicial Administration Efficiency and Modernization Fund. It was to promote access, efficiency, and effectiveness in the trial courts and to implement projects which were approved by the Judicial Council. There was a separate fund called the Trial Court Improvement Fund, and that was located within Government Code Section 77209. And that was money in the fund could be expended to implement trial court projects as approved by the Judicial Council. Those two funds merged into what we now call the Improvement and State Trial Court Improvement and Modernization Fund, as I said, the IMF. The monies in the fund may be expended to implement trial court projects approved by this council and also for the purpose of promoting access, efficiency, and effectiveness. In considering the allocation levels and how are we going to approach our very difficult task, we decided at the very outset of our two-day meeting that we wanted to develop as a group certain criteria and principles by which we wanted to apply each of the line items to for evaluation so that there would be some objective criteria to our ultimate recommendations to you. Part of the criteria included are the programs mandated or not, the actual number of courts that the programs serve, the value to the courts and to the branch, according to the survey results that I mentioned, the appropriateness of whether or not the IMF should be the fund source for those monies, the impact program and project funding reductions that they would have to individual courts and the judicial branch. The primary criteria or principle was the fact that we were not going to consider any increases above the 14-15 funding level. So those were the criteria that we looked at. And so with that, I will turn the recommendations over to you, Sherry Carter.
Okay, thank you. For those of you who would like to see a summary of all of the recommendations, I will be going through. Attachment 1 in your material has a spreadsheet that has all of the recommendations with columns that may make it easier for you to follow. I will also refer you to the various pages in the written material for those of you who prefer to do it that way. The first recommendation that we have for the council is that you allocate $59,372,000 from the State Trial Court Improvement and Modernization Fund for 15-16. This allocation includes a net reduction of $10,848,000 from the 14-15 level because of the deficit that Judge Earl and Judge Lau have mentioned to you. That net reduction of $10.8 million includes several things. The first several reductions that I will cover, so they're on the spreadsheet, and I'll now start going through those reductions.
Thank you.
The first reduction is on page 7 in your materials, and These are a variety of reductions to all of those programs on Table 1 at various percentages of reduction. So if you go to Table 7, I know it's a little confusing, but if you go to page 7 and look at Table 1, the first recommendation is to reduce those programs by those percentage amounts, and those percentages were recommended by the Judicial Council program chairs as a reduction that could be considered. First of all, I should have prefaced this by saying every program that's been funded by IMF was seen as valuable. There was not one program that was seen as something that we could just eliminate without there being some pain. Every program was seen as valuable. So the Judicial Council staff did a good job in trying to come up with what the programs would look like if various reductions were made. So Table 1 reflects reductions to various programs based on Judicial Council staff recommendations, and that is included in the $10.8 million reduction. The second set of reductions is on page 8, which maintains programs at their 14-15 level. As Judge Slough indicated, one of our principles was to keep all of the programs at the 14-15 level. And for some programs, that was actually a reduction because they had program cost increases. And so I wanted to point that out, that even though they are maintained at the same level, many of those programs are still taking a reduction because of their cost increases. Also included in the $10.8 million net reduction is an increase for four programs that are outlined on page 8. They were, even though it violated one of our principles, we saw that it was critical to actually do these increases because of systems that were 8 to 9 years old. They were going to, if they failed, it would impact the branch severely. And so four programs were allowed to increase for a total of $625,000. And those are outlined on page 8. The next group that is included in the $10.8 million reduction is the total elimination and partial of 9 programs and a partial elimination of 1 program, and those are outlined on page 2 of your materials, and I thought I would go through them in more detail because they are completely eliminating some of those programs. The first one is Human Resources Court Investigation. These were contracted court investigations stemming from trial court's personnel issues. Firms were hired to investigate these at 9 courts, and we are recommending that that program be eliminated. And those courts that use this service could contract those investigators using their own local funds. The second program is to eliminate a workers' compensation reserve. The Judicial Council has been resolving monies owed to counties for claims, payment and administration for losses with dates of injury occurring between January 2001 and the date the files were transferred to the branch. And we believe that these TEL claims are over and that we can eliminate that reserve with no problem. The third is an audit contract expenditure. We have not used this, I think, now for 2 years. That was money that would have been used to hire outside firms to help perform audits, and we are recommending that that potential contract be eliminated. The fourth is the Justice Partner Outreach and E-Services Program. That was a program that helped to plan and implement electronic filing of court documents and service of court documents, and we are recommending that that program be eliminated. The fifth program is the ADR Center Program. That program contracts for the development of materials to help support court-connected ADR programs across the state. And again, we are recommending that that be eliminated. The sixth program is the Complex Civil Litigation Program. This was a pilot that started in January 2000 to help facilitate and manage these very complex civil cases. Six courts were part of that pilot and have dedicated complex civil courts. I want to just indicate at this point that the elimination of the complex civil funding from the IMF is directly related to Recommendation 7, because if you approve Recommendation 7, it would now create permanent ongoing funding for those complex civil filings for all of the courts that receive them. It's an interim solution. It would give them the same case weight in the weighted filings that helps fund WAFM. It would give all complex filings the same weighted filing as asbestos cases, which are one case type of complex cases. And it would help preserve some funding for those courts that do have these expensive courts to maintain. But I did want to indicate that those are somewhat related together. Okay.
Justice Miller, I believe that Judge Alksney is on the line. She is chair of the Workload Assessment Advisory Committee, as we reference in Recommendation Number 7. I have had an opportunity to speak briefly with her about this recommendation, and I believe she would like to address the council at this point.
Judge Alksney.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. This is Judge Alksney. Thank you for letting me call in. Sorry I'm not there in person. So WAC uses real data and statistics to create the case weights, and indeed the civil unlimited case weight included case processing and the work associated with complex civil cases when we did the study in 2010. So we captured the complex civil cases in that original time or in that time study that we did. And so that has already been captured. And so the case weight that we gave all unlimited civil was, or the minutes, was 797. If we now apply a different case weight to those, they would be double credit for anyone that was already included in the study that we did in 2010. But moreover, we don't know what it takes. We've never studied a complex civil except for asbestos, and we don't know how many minutes it actually takes. And we wouldn't know this without further study. And WAC tries to be a neutral statistical committee, and I'm concerned about using an artificial number that we just pick without any statistical backup, and that it might downgrade our model. And so while we're not, WAC has no stake in this, we would be happy to look at whether or not complex civil does generate more minutes than unlimited civil and break it out in the next workload study, which we're going to be doing in the fall of 2015, to artificially put a case weight on a type of case that we've never studied is a concern. And it we're looking at other requests from the council was to see whether or not death penalty cases should come out and be a separate case weight. And so we're willing to do that kind of work. We just want it to make it sure that we can back it up with data.
Judge Johnson.
And I know, yes.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that was all I needed to say. And Leah's there for any technical questions. I just wanted to make sure that I brought that point up so that the council could consider it.
Judge Oxley, this is Judge Earl. I just wanted to ask a question for clarification. You indicated that the resource allocation study assessment study currently captures complex civil filings. It's my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, it captures them as a general unlimited civil case. Is that correct?
Yes. So it captured all unlimited civil. So it was already captured and part of the model.
And how many minutes does it ascribe to it?
All unlimited civil are 797 or 796.
So currently the model does not distinguish between complex civil and unlimited civil, correct?
Correct. And it's not that can't be done, but what we don't know is how much time complex civil non-asbestos actually takes. We don't know that it's not 840 or 2010. We don't know what it is. And my concern is that we just start putting an artificial number on a case type we have now created a model that is no longer scientifically or statistically based.
And if your group was to study this in your next cycle, how long do you think before you had a solution or a proposal?
Well, we were asking now for courts to participate in the 2015 workload study, and I came up and I presented to SEAC about 3 weeks ago asking for volunteer courts. And so as we call those courts and get a nice cross-section of courts throughout the 58 counties, large and small, we will, and rural and urban, then we'll be starting the study in October of 2015, analyzing the data and coming back to the council in 2016 with new case weights.
Would it be before the end of the fiscal year in 2016, or would it be after July?
Let me ask Leah that question.
It's planned for the end of the year.
But could we come up with a case weight for complex civil before the end of the fiscal year?
We understand that there's constraint for the Trail Court Budget Advisory Committee to come up with a solution this fiscal year, meaning by July.
And no, we're talking next fiscal year, Leah, by July 2016.
Yeah, no, we won't have our study finalized, but we certainly could come up or use some interim results by the close of the fiscal year. After we collect the data from the courts, courts have often reminded us that what we see in the courts right now is not always reflective of how the courts wish to do their case processing, that resource constraints mean that in some cases courts may not be spending the time that they wish to in certain areas. And so we go through an extensive validation process to make sure that the data that we get back from the study reflects accurately what's happening in the courts, and then measures a little bit of the aspirational or the what should be. So that's why the process takes a little bit longer after the close of the data collection. But in the interest of getting a result back to Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee, we can put some steps into place to speed that process up so that you have something to work with by close of fiscal year, are we talking 15, 16?
Justice Miller or Chief, I don't know if anyone has any questions for Judge Oxley. I know she has to get back to her calendar.
I know that there has been a lot of discussion about these recommendations in complex civil litigation, has received a fair amount of comment. Any questions? Ms. Deborah Pohl.
Thank you, Chief. Yesterday, April 16, 2015, I received a number of telephone calls, voicemail messages, and email messages from what they call themselves as stakeholders on this complex civil litigation issue. And some of the notes I took were from people on both sides of the aisle who do this type of work. They say that having complex civil litigation reduces inefficiencies, that it prices mass tort cases in consolidated proceedings via the bellwether process, which leads to the resolution of hundreds of cases that are consolidated under JCCP process, that they want the complex civil litigation issue tabled so that they can hold more study on it. They feel that this issue was buried in these recommendations, that the recommendations should have been socialized more broadly. And these people were, I cannot repeat in this open forum some of the statements that I got regarding these recommendations from people who do this every day. And they believe that the courts that are going to be affected are the ones that have these mass tort proceedings and these complex issues. And when you compare complex to non-complex issues, there is no comparison because of the experience that the staff and courts have on these issues. So they're asking that this issue, at least this part of the recommendation, be tabled so that it can be socialized more broadly. And I think yesterday we even received one email. I wasn't able to access it on Moodle, but I do know that I had a call. Did you receive my email? So, and I can't admit that I had not, but I had an idea of what it said. But so that is the issue that we have before us right now. And simply, can this part of the recommendation be tabled? People feel very, very, very strongly about this issue.
Justice Ashman-Gurs?
I want to echo some of what Ms. Pohl has said. I mean, the concern is that removing is complex from the IMF prior to a decision from WAFM might result in the funding being eliminated. And, of course, it is a program that is extraordinarily successful. My thought is it possible to make the elimination of COMPLEX from the IMF to be contingent upon the Workload Assessment Advisory Committee's work, as is set forth in Item 7, since it has been noted that all unlimited civil are treated equally. I think that what we don't want is a gap in the funding for a very significant program.
I do think that you should consider recommendation number 7 and the elimination of COMPLEX civil together.
Thank you. Maybe there needs to be more questions about how recommendation 7 addresses the specific concerns about COMPLEX civil litigation resources of approximately 4 million go away. Before I get there, I saw two hands raised, and that is Judge Jacobson and Judge Elias, and then Judge Buckley, in that order, please.
The question I have is, with the replacement of the funding, or the offset, if you will, with the WAFM case weight adjustment, is there a difference in how that affects donor courts and recipient courts?
I don't know the direct answer to the question, and maybe Zlotko would know.
If we include this case weight at this level, that would mean that the total cost of WAFM would go up. So first and foremost, our cost of doing business would go up by including this 3,500 case weight issue within the overall math. We still only have a finite number of dollars within the TCTF to allocate, so there in theory wouldn't be more money allocated. But what it would do, as I get to your question, Judge Jacobson, is that the share of the dollars would realign slightly in those courts that would get credit for having these cases. Now, currently, the IMF funds 6 courts. I believe there's 30 to 38 courts that would have these types of filings. And so it would impact, you know, a large number of courts in getting a sort of a fractional change potentially in their WAFM share. But there are many factors that influence WAFM in so much as the overall filings, the cost of staff, other factors like our Bureau of Labor Statistics changes. So it would be one of the factors that changes a court share, but if all things being equal, it would effectively bump up a little bit those courts getting a little slightly bigger share of the WAFM. And I don't know the split between contributing courts and recipient courts as far as which ones. We're talking about, I think, upwards of 38 courts. We're talking most courts. Large portion of courts are going to have an impact to the benefit. So that would impact both and receiving courts.
Judge Elias, then Judge Buckley.
Thank you. As you probably know, I'm the supervising judge of COMPLEX in Los Angeles. I've been that for 5 years. I've been in COMPLEX for 10 years, and before that I was 11 years as an IC judge, a direct calendar judge. I can tell you that the workloads are very different. The types of cases are very different. I hear all the JCCP motions to coordinate. Those cases are brought in from around the state. We handle all of the drug cases, which are huge. Some of these cases have 500 underlying cases in them for different pharmaceutical companies. They are different. I'm not asking to make the decision now on how different they are, but I would ask that we follow Justice Ashman-Gurs' recommendation and tie the two of them together, give you a chance to look at it. I know we'll be happy to turn over our caseloads. You can see everything we have. I think you will see that there is a substantial difference in the work, and that putting them together and deferring the elimination of COMPLEX is very important. And just to tell you, I got on the plane yesterday morning, and there was a lawyer on it. The first thing he said to me was, "We hear you're eliminating COMPLEX. Why are you all doing that?" While I stood on the plane. So please do it.
And to that point, just to remind you that to the extent that this were to remain funded in the IMF, They would need $4 million of other reductions in the 48 other programs that are still considered. So this is not a, there is new money for this. This would have at the cost of other programs.
So as I understand you, this has been carefully vetted. It is a zero-sum game. If anyone is taken out and deferred, it means that for the fiscal year 15-16, there has to be a place, as you indicated, where $4 million else comes out. I've also heard that potentially, after we have the discussion, there's two issues to really consider, and that is take complex civil litigation and actually move it to recommendation or be heard in conjunction with recommendation number 7. And I heard Sherry explain recommendation number 7, but it might bear a little more explanation or Q&A after we hear everyone else's positions on this issue. So I'm going to ask Judge Buckley, then Justice Hull.
Well, my first point was going to be just that the $4 million, that's almost obviously 40% of this solution. And if we take that solution away, it's very significant. The asbestos case being used in number 7, I think, is very wise. Again, in another life, I was supervising judge of civil. One, asbestos cases have a fair amount of work during the pendency of the case. Most of them do not go to trial, and the workload really is during the case. And also, if you look at number 7, it says until such time as the advisory committee reviews the validity. So we're looking for an interim solution for this 40% solution to IMF. So whether it's a year or so, we can, I think, have a realistic and fair comparison of these complex cases to an existing case type of asbestos. And it may well be, after further analysis, the complex case gets more hours, or minutes, I should say. It may get less. But it gets us through this year. It gives them that 40% part of the answer. And we can keep open the complex courts. I can assure you, as an APJ of Los Angeles, the complex courts in LA are not closing. But this gives us the funding that we can have a smooth transition until the Workload Assessment Advisory Committee can do the work requested in number 7.
Justice Hull.
Thank you, Chief. Listening to the discussion around the council, as I understand it, basically when we're talking about complex civil as it relates to recommendation number 1 and then recommendation number 7, basically we have one of two choices. We can effectively defund, at least out of the IMF, complex civil, and with recommendation 7, study it further, and if appropriate, later on in the fiscal year, the upcoming fiscal year, we can revisit the issue if the statistics justify that. Or on the other hand, as I've heard the conversation, we can carve complex civil out of recommendation number 1, subject to that further study. And if those are the two options, I do have some concern, as has been stated, if we simply carve it out for this fiscal year or next, where do we save the $4 million out of the IMF? And I think that's worthy. Now, if I'm oversimplifying this, please let me know, but it seems to me that's what's facing us here.
That's exactly Justice Hull? What's facing
us.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Leah. I just wanted to reiterate a comment that's come up earlier, but I think it needs to be mentioned again. Since we already measure the workload of complex civil cases in our unlimited civil case weight, we really couldn't proceed by giving those cases the asbestos case weight, because we'd essentially be double counting and inflating the WAFM need unnecessarily.
Thank you, Lou. Okay.
So, Leah, could you tell me then? At this point, then, even recommendation number 7 is a future formula, because I don't understand the answer you just gave.
Well, so it sounds like there might be two alternatives. I think, as Justice Hull laid out, one would be to restore or find some way to fund it through the IMF with the $4 million. Mm-hmm. Or the other alternative is presented in the recommendation is just to assign those cases the asbestos case weight. And I guess what I'm trying to convey is that I don't think it can be just the latter. If you're moving in the direction of the latter and not going in the direction of the IMF funding, then there needs to be some other adjustments that we need to make to the rest of the model so that we don't overinflate our statewide need.
Understand. So you're saying that, I've heard this, that the complex civil has already been taken into account in the unlimited civil counting.
Right.
So recommendation 7, which is to assign complex civil 3,500 minutes, would not happen in 1516.
I'm saying that if that were implemented, that we would end up with a statewide need that would be overstated.
Right, because it's been double counted
exactly.
As a cycle four.
So we would need to, I think there needs to be maybe another a slight revision that would allow us to come up with a different way of weighting those cases.
Okay, there's a number of hands raised, and so I'm going to ask Judge Buckley, Judge So, and the panel. Thank you.
So my question really would be, could we take the 3,546 minutes, reduce it by the 797
yes.
minutes that was
right.
part of the general civil, whatever that arithmetic is. You know, the joke is we went to law school because we don't want to do the math. Would that be a solution
yes.
to that issue, that specific issue?
No.
And that was our recommendation, actually, to
yeah,
clarify.
You would deduct the number of cases at the current case weight and then add them back in at the new, and that
right.
would be the net change. But I think the fundamentally is the 700 currently is at 700 because the measurement includes complex. And so, Leah.
I see. It's baked into the entire
part
formula
of it
for unlimited civil. Okay.
Right.
So.
And we can make some modifications,
mm-hmm.
but I think we're making a big assumption that complex civil follows the same profile as an asbestos case. And when it comes to something like trial, like, for example, the 3,500 minutes assumes that every single case goes to trial. And my understanding, just on a superficial basis, is that that's not the way that the complex civil are typically resolved through trial.
So if I could point up, Chief, if I don't mean to interrupt anyone who's been trying to make a statement, Judge So, but I just want to remind us that this is a temporary solution while the workload assessment study is completed. This is $4 million to the IMF fund. As Judge Buckley pointed out, that's approximately 40% of our potential solution to our problem within the IMF. And this is for six very important courts. I don't minimize at all the value of these complex courts. And I very much respect and trust and believe Judge Buckley when he says if it went away, they would continue with theirs if we don't do this. So please don't take this as meaning that I don't value or any of us don't value those courts. We do. But these are six different county court systems that get the $4 million. And we believe and recommend that a temporary solution to this problem is the appropriate path to take.
Thank you. So I'm going to hear from Judge So, then Judge McCabe, and then Judge Morrison.
It seems to be a consensus that complex litigation courts are something that are valued. And it's just a question of what pot they get paid out of. And we're trying to estimate the best we can without doing the study what the appropriate weight is. And it seems to me that we can make that best estimate using our historical best practices, the expertise that Leah and her staff has in coming up with a number that best approximates the weight today without doing the study. And that seems to me where we ought to be headed. It seems that the asbestos number may be a little high. What the appropriate number is, I'm not sure. I don't have that expertise, but I'm sure you folks can come up with a best recommendation for a stopgap for this year.
Judge McCabe, then Judge Jacobson.
Thank you, Chief. As I understand this is designed to address the IMF structural deficit. And the root problem is funding and a lack thereof. So in essence, we are choosing between whether we cut off our left hand or our right hand, but either choice isn't going to be pleasant, and it's going to hurt. If I'm wrong, correct me. I'm looking through these issues. I'll note, and I have two hats on. The first one, as the presiding judge of the Merced Superior Court, my CEO and I drafted a letter along with some other Cluster 1 and 2 courts that address the minimal $1.2 million of security funding in there that was immeasurable to the courts. If you do or do not know, there was a fatality shooting in my courtroom. I was the judge and horrifically witnessed, along with another 150 people, the killing of an individual who was assaulting the court with two 10-inch blades. The security funding was instrumental in providing our court, which did not have the funding, monies to address security shortfalls, and other courts are similarly positioned. Notwithstanding taking that local hat off and putting a statewide one on, I get it. I get we have a deficit and we have to address it. I get that there's going to be some painful decisions here and that this is meant as a temporary stopgap until we can figure out some either funding solutions or better mechanisms. I too share the concerns of the effects that this may have on a variety of programs, but it all comes back to funding and lack thereof. So I'm going to give you a definite maybe here. I don't have a solution. I don't know what the solution is. All I know is we've noted the deficit in IMF for a number of years. We noted that we were coming close to the cliff. We are at the precipice now, and I feel the gentle push in my back and getting ready to float. The consternation is acknowledged. I understand that. The question I have is it necessary to implement this action today versus June? Because I know some folks are looking for more data, et cetera. And so if you could address that issue now versus the June meeting.
I don't know where we would find $4 million. It was the third time that I have sat through those two-day meetings looking through the IMF accounts. I cannot tell you. The elimination, we started to go through these nine programs that are completely eliminated and one that will be partially eliminated. I don't know of any other program there that would be equivalent to $4 million. I can also tell you that complex courts bring revenue to the branch, that the attorneys who pay the $1,000 filing fee pay that because they want the service that those complex courts provide. They bring in $26 million to the branch last fiscal year. And so, you know, the recommendation 7 was recognized, and if you read it and if you read the materials that actually outline the rationale for the recommendation on page 12, you'll see it was seen as an interim solution. We did recognize that it was something that we needed to have our smart experts like Leah look at. It was completely seen as an interim solution because we needed to find a way to save the money from the IMF. But we had to recognize the value of the complex courts to the attorneys who have been so supportive of the branch and to the courts that maintain them. And so we felt that this was an interim solution. It will not increase our money. Zlatko said it may increase our WAFM need. Perhaps that's an accurate need and we should address that anyway. But if the pie stays the same size, it may increase slightly the slice that goes to those courts that have the filings. The part about complex, the complex program as it is now, that has always concerned me is it only went to those six courts. And there are courts that receive more filings, more complex filings that get no money from the program than some that are in the program. So I support the recommendation 7 and eliminating it from IMF because it's an interim solution. I believe we could subtract the 796 minutes, which would give us, 2,756 minutes for an interim solution, and it would provide that credit to all of the courts who are addressing these cases. And so, can we wait? I don't know if we can wait, because if the end result is in June that it won't be supported, I don't know what we'll do if we have to go back to our committee, because there isn't anything else there worth $4 million.
May I turn your question on its head, Judge McCabe?
As I expected you would.
I'll call you last.
I would suggest that rather than delay it, that the recommendation be approved and allow Leah and her team to look for an alternative solution. An interim, temporary alternative solution while the work group does its work.
And report back at the June meeting?
Absolutely.
Okay. So I know that's out there, but there are a number of people who still wish to be heard. And so I'm going to call on Judge Jacobson, then Judge So, Judge Rosenberg, and lastly, Justice Miller.
I'm wondering, do the fees that are generated by the complex cases, do they exceed that $4 million amount? And if so, and that's my understanding, is there a reason why a portion of those fees cannot be diverted to pay the courts the costs that are currently funded by that $4 million IMF grant?
That would impact allocations to all of the courts, since we don't have any excess truck or trust fund. The fees that were increased to the $1,000 was as part of budget reduction offsets. So general fund was reduced, and as we've become unfortunately more reliant on fees, this was one of the fee revenues to reduce the impact of budget cuts. So if you take this money currently in the stream going to all 58 courts and then pool it and divert it to those six courts that currently get the $4 million, 52 courts would lose money in the overall budget.
I suppose what I'm asking is, to the extent that certain courts are doing this work and generating these fees, shouldn't they be reimbursed for that cost as opposed to taking a cut for this profit?
Well, everybody is getting some of this money, but it was not intended to explicitly fund the complex courts. It was a means as part of a package to offset budget reductions. And so absent these revenues, all courts would have taken cuts, not just the complex courts.
So let me say, I have several people who have yet to be heard, and I want to keep us focused on the decision we have to make today. And so I'm going to ask Judge Anderson, then Judge So, Judge Rosenberg, and Justice Miller, and then I'm going to call for a motion. Okay, go ahead, Judge Anderson.
And then my comments are directed to why we're here today rather than anything particular and specific. I think we all should pause and remember why we're having this conversation, and we're having this conversation because of the shortfalls to the branch and not because of anything of the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee making, self-directed decisions. So we need to understand we have less money and we have to make difficult decisions, and that's why they're there. Two, I think what we need to do is avoid the Siegel effect. And the Siegel effect is you throw a piece of bread out there and what's left, and we all come diving down and trying to get the one slice of bread. And as we're looking at the big picture, let's not be seagulls. We're all in it together. I think we all need to land, quit circling as seagulls and trying to get rid of the other person, look at the one piece of bread and figure out how do we best divide it amongst who's out there circling. And then as we look at this as well, is the role of the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee in an open meeting had debate on the subject, in an open meeting with comment, and came up with these recommendations for us to consider, not rework, but for us not to rubber stamp, but for us to take the high view of the work and the debate and of the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee to then come back to us with some recommendations for us to evaluate the process, and then for us to evaluate how they arrived at the decision but not remake the decisions for them and either vote to accept or reject. And so that's what I suggest we do.
Thank you, Judge Anderson. Judge So, then Judge Rosenberg, and then Justice Miller.
My question is directed to Leah and Slotko. As I understand it, you think there's a problem theoretically with the way recommendation 7 is currently worded, because it's an arbitrary number. The 3,546 is an arbitrary number. How long do you think it would take before you would be able to come up with a defensible estimate? Statistically defensible estimate, I guess that's the best way I could describe it, that you would be comfortable with, that would withstand scrutiny of legislative questions.
So we've, as staff, have discussed some ways that we might be able to achieve this in time for this body to review allocation decisions in June or July, and we think we can come up with something, possibly working with representatives from the pilot courts who hear these cases and can weigh in on that. So
and so the parameters then would be less than 3,546, but it would be greater than something.
Greater than the existing unlimited civil weight. Right.
And then that would be something that you think that you could justify and defend from a statistical point of view. Is that correct?
I do. So if I could make a suggestion on how I might suggest rewording the recommendation, it would be to make a slight modification. I would read it as direct the Workload Assessment Advisory Committee to include in the resource assessment study computation of workload need the paid complex case fee filings and propose an interim weight until such time as the advisory committee reviews the validity of the weighting. We'd have to study that. Yeah, we'd have to come up with the interim weight in the next 2 to 4 weeks.
So while you work on writing out that amendment to recommendation number 7, I'm going to hear from Judge Rosenberg, then Justice Miller.
Judge Jacobson actually asked the question I was going to ask, and Zlotko responded to it relating to the $26 million. So I'm covered.
Okay. Justice Miller, are you going
to? So I intended to make a motion.
Okay, wait. Before you do, let me say this. I think all comments here are valid, but this discussion had to happen here. This is the role of the Judicial Council. I know how hard the committee, you all, and everyone on it labored under this, and that it was open, and that there was much discussion. Frankly, there's been discussion about complex civil for years, for the very reasons that Sherry Carter pointed out about complex civil happening in far more courts than 6. And we are in this difficult position. We would be in a far worse difficult position, I think, if we didn't have the support of our stakeholders, who are also very adamant about this issue. But I believe this is an interim, and based on the interest around this table and in our branch, this is an interim and ongoing solution, because we all understand the value not only of complex civil litigation, frankly, but of all of the programs that are in the IMF, including the 9 that are being cut and the 1 that's being partially cut. And so I don't want to diminish the import of those other programs as well, but understand that this is hard work, and these are Hobson's choices. And we expect that we will reevaluate as we do. And I really thank the hard work of the Judicial Council staff in these computations and the flexibility and agility you have with trying to address our concerns. So I wanted to say I appreciate all the questions and the concerns and the fact that our stakeholders believe that we are accessible enough that they call and they email and they stop us on the plane about what they believe is eyes are on council's work. And these are the reasons we have a council to debate the proposals that are considered. So I thank you for that. I say that just before the motion, Justice Miller. Now you have something in writing?
Yes.
Chief?
Yes, Justice Ashman-Gurst.
We have been focused on the complex courts, and I just want to mention one other one, and that's the HR piece. And just to
bullet one, you're saying?
Right. Just in support of the courts that we have been liaisons with, who almost to a court have said, we can't survive without the staff of the Judicial Council helping us out with HR and with legal. We don't have the money to do it ourselves, and we don't have the staff to do it ourselves or the expertise. So on behalf of the courts that we work with, I would just like to make that comment.
May I address that?
Yes.
In your materials, you probably did not have time to review the big stack of surveys and all of the summaries. I've had the pleasure of reviewing it about three times. And on page 28, it shows you the court clusters in columns. And I looked at that very carefully even before we had the two-day revenue and expenditure committee meeting, because I was concerned about how that elimination may impact our small court sisters. And so if you look at column one on page 28 that shows the clusters, column one are your small courts. There are 14 there. There are 21 in cluster two, 12 in cluster three, and 9 in cluster four. And the reason that's important is because on page 30 of those materials, it tells you how many courts used that HR service. And so cluster one, it was 7 of 14. Cluster two, it was 18 of 21. Cluster nine was 3 of 12. And cluster four was 3 of 9. And the reason that's also important is because on page 119 of your materials, it lists all the courts who used that HR service, and they were not predominantly the small courts. And so we did look at that and strongly debated it and considered it, and I actually brought the materials here today because it was important to me to consider our smaller courts. And we did not find in any of the survey results that was a program that was that valued by the courts.
So let me say this, in the interest of Justice Ashmanger's style, which I appreciate, there are 7 recommendations in front of you, and the 7th is going to be amended. So I ask counsel, I know all of us are diligent in reading the background of when we eliminate 9 programs that counsel created from the IMF fund. So I'm asking now, before I think Justice Miller is prepared to make a motion, to call out individual members of counsel, to call out the recommendations in which you would like greater clarification or a greater unpacking that you don't find in the written materials before a motion's heard on items 1 through 7 and 7 as amended. Are there any other issues here in the recommendations in your binders that you would like to discuss publicly before we take a vote? Yeah, Judge Stout.
Thank you, Chief. I want to compliment the committee, and this is a horrible task you've had to undertake, and with staff's support, appreciate your excellent work here in a no-win situation. In the spirit of what Judge McCabe said, I do want to kind of highlight and try to just keep on the radar screen from other funding sources, if any, the court security grants. I mean, for many of the small rural courts, I know Tulare responded as well as Merced. This can really obviate what minimal security there is in the first place. And something else kind of dear to my heart that hasn't been discussed is the Center for Family, Children, and the Courts programming. This becomes a significant issue for judicial education around dependency, as I understand it. Most of that funding for 15-16 would go to the Beyond the Bench conference. Underlying a lot of this, I know, is the pay-as-you-go kind of concept, and that's a significant concern because trial courts, we know, just don't have the money, and I'm afraid we're not going to get judges to incredibly valuable and required, in a sense, continuing education and dependency cases. And particularly now, as we alternate the years, having Beyond the Bench 1 year with the Juvenile Law Institute the next year, we're really in jeopardy of not having a meaningful program until November of 2016. But again, I know Ms. Nunn and her staff are going to do their best to reach out to foundations and try to find a way to fund that particular program, and I hope they're successful in that. But I'm supportive here, though I hate it as much as probably everybody else, but I thank you for the opportunity to at least highlight those critical needs in my view.
Thank you, Judge Stout. Justice Hull, then Judge Brandlin.
I have been listening, of course, and listening to Judge McCabe and Judge Stout's concerns about the trial court security grants, which is one of the bullets under number one. I noticed that it says trial court security grants, and if the Judicial Council believes that this program is a priority, consider whether it is appropriate to fund from one of the state construction funds. I think that we all recognize that security has to be deemed to be a priority, and I'm just wondering if there is a plan afoot, so to speak, not by this committee, but by somebody, to look into whether or not this should be funded out of construction funds. Is that discussion taking place anyplace?
I don't know. We bring that to you and believe that it would be not our responsibility.
Refer to one of the advisory committees.
Correct.
Like Justice Hill's committee, perhaps.
Or Judge Heiberger's.
Or Judge Heiberger's. Very good. Judge Brandlin, then Judge Herman.
I just wanted to join in Judge McCabe and Stout and their views on the Office of Security here. That has to have a priority.
Thank you. Judge Herman.
Well, I just want to compliment Judge Earl and Sherry Carter, Judge Slaus, Lotko, staff for this effort, which is a painful and difficult effort. I just say that, you know, we are working on this year by year and year by year. We have a fund that's in deficit balance. As the chief said, this is a zero-sum game. I mean, the only sources that we've got for funding right now are fines and fees, trial court trust fund, the IMF general fund within judicial counsel. And for years, we have been moving programs out of the trial court, out from underneath funding by the trial court trust fund in order to relieve that fund and help the trial courts in terms of their funding issues. But we've now loaded those programs onto the IMF, which is in structural deficit and annual deficit, and it's going to be worse in 16-17. So as a council, I think we have to take this up as a priority issue in terms of how we develop one way or another an ability to fund so that all the programs that assist our courts that are being cut back or eliminated can be revived. It should be a priority for us. So anyway, thank you for all of your good and hard work.
Thank you, Judge Herman. This time I call on Justice Miller.
So I'm going to attempt a motion. It's first going to be, and this is all one motion, to approve recommendations 1 through 6 with the addition to number 1 that the issue regarding security be referred to executive and planning, and executive and planning will then make the appropriate referral to an advisory committee to deal with that, or advisory committees. With regards to recommendation number 7, I want to make sure that it includes that as part of that, and I think it's in the other recommendations, though, that this motion does eliminate the $4 million of the complex funds from the IMF. And recommendation number 7 would read, direct the Workload Assessment Advisory Committee to include in the resource assessment study computation of workload need, comma, the paid complex case filings, and propose an interim weight. Leah, I'm trying to read your writing. That will be brought back to the council meeting in June of this year. Is that correct?
And then continue on after the comma until such time as the advisory committee reviews the validity of the weighting.
So that's my all-encompassing motion.
Second.
Second by
Judge. Do that again.
No.
Direct the workload. Oh, so I'm asking for approval of 1 through 6. Number 1, I'm modifying to indicate that the security issue will be assigned to executive and planning, and executive and planning will make the appropriate assignment to an advisory committee. Number 7 would read, direct the Workload Assessment Advisory Committee to include in the resource assessment study computation of workload need, the paid complex case filings, and propose an interim weighted weight that will be brought back to the Judicial Council at its June 2015 meeting, comma, until such time as the advisory committee reviews the validity of the weighting.
Is that one or two?
And it's one all-encompassing motion.
Yes, Judge Elias.
I have a question. You're going to have them do it, but is it going to be effective? Are we going to put an effective date on it, that once they do this weighting, this will be effective as of
July
1st, so that whatever weight they come up with will take effect on law from immediately thereafter?
Yes.
Okay. you add that in. Thank you.
Yes.
Friendly amendment taken.
Thank you very much.
Judge Buckley.
Justice Miller, I didn't hear you say that 7 would also be adopted. I think the motion says that it will be amended.
1 through 6 and 7 as modified.
Okay.
With the understanding that 1 has been modified also, and that this includes the removal of the $4 million from the IMF.
Any further questions? Laura, Judge Earl.
Justice Miller, I just want to make sure, I don't think it's gone unnoticed, but in our recommendation, it includes considering shifting costs from the IMF to other funds as well, not just the security grant. For instance, our recommendation 3, and also determine cost recovery viability for some programs on 4, will those be considered by EMP as well?
EMP will make those assignments.
Thank you.
Ms. Deborah Pohl.
Thank you, Chief. Justice Miller, I just want to make sure I understand what you just said. Does that mean that we are accepting the recommendation for the complex civil litigation as is suggested in number 6, and that there is a modification of number 7? In other words, complex civil litigation will be eliminated based on the funding? Is that what I'm hearing?
The line item amount of $4 million will be eliminated from the IMF, yes.
Okay.
Right, and you moved over to Waffen.
Right.
I don't see any hands raised. I believe there have been 2 seconds. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. I cannot say enough to the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee and the subcommittee, Zlatko and Stephen, and the judges and CEOs, how grateful we are for your painstaking, hard work. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief.
I have a no vote.
If there was one no
vote. You got to say no.
Can you
I thought I said no.
The Ms. Pohl voted no.